back here on Downtown on a Wednesday afternoon. Our next guest on the program works as a psychotherapist in Washington, D.C., where she lives with her husband and her two sons, and has decided that doing all that was not enough, and so she has added author to her resume with a wonderful new book entitled Running Mates. We are happy to be joined by author Emily Locker.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you here. The book was such a delight. You had a great career going. Why did you decide I need to add on to what I'm doing? Being a psychotherapist and a mom is not enough. I need to add author to the list of things to do.
I wanted to see how little I could sleep in 1 year. That's why.
How's that working out for you?
Well, it's been such an exciting year. You know, I love being a therapist. It's been so fun having a book published. I love being a mom. I'm definitely a little tired, but I've been keeping myself up with espresso and M&M's. So I think that might be the secret to success.
I may have to try that myself. It sounds great. Well, this is such a wonderful book and such a timely story. And what an interesting way to look at the division, the polarization in this country through the eyes of young people.
Yes. I think that, young people are so passionate, and so they do everything passionately. They believe passionately, but they also fall in love very passionately. So what happens when those two things come together?
I love it if you could share some of the real life story that that served to inspire the book. It happened, at your son's nursery school?
Yes. I wanted to be a published author for a long time, and a lot of my feedback was, great dialogue, but you need a hook. So I was like, what should my hook be? And then I was moving back to Washington, D.C. with my two young kids and my husband, and in my son's nursery school class, and this is so Washingtonian, of just a 15-kid class, we had one parent who was President Obama's old speechwriter and another parent who was Mike Pence's old speechwriter. And I was like, awkward, how is this going to work? But by the end of the year, there's so many times to get together when you have little kids because there's birthday parties, there's family meetups, there's parents-only meetups, and everyone got along so well because you came together as parents who had chosen the same nursery school, who were raising kids in D.C., and when you take politics out of it, we do actually have a lot in common. And so that's kind of what inspired Anna and Gabe.
Well, let's talk about the main characters in the book. Annabelle, a very involved young woman, an activist who's got two very active moms who are involved in the world as well. And then she takes a shine for a young man named Gabe Delgado. And it makes her crazy because he is the son of an extremely conservative United States senator.
Right. Yes. At first, she wouldn't even, in the novel, it's set in a small fictional town, North Carolina, and it's very politically divided. And so the Eastsiders are liberal and the Northsiders are conservative. And first, she wouldn't even consider speaking to a Northside boy. But then they end up in the same running team. And at first, she can't help but admire his muscles. But then she admires a lot more. And they kind of fall in love despite, these differences. And it's a lot. It's very uncomfortable not only for them, but for their families and for their friends.
Well, I love this book so much because when I'm not on the radio, I'm a high school teacher. And the dialogue, and you work with kids all the time. The dialogue rings so true, but also the passion. And for those kids like Annabelle, who are trying to get into a school, maybe one that, like in her case, is beyond her reach, yeah. Doing everything, involved in every activity going.
Right, and then you see that so much, right? The pressure of getting into college is it's more difficult than ever before. I don't know if everyone realizes that it's harder to get into these schools. And, so when you have this pre-fixed notion of where you want to go, it can be this really dramatic, hard time. And, people do kind of turn themselves into pretzels trying to make themselves applicable to get in. Rich, because you're a high school English teacher, I think I actually, one of the best things, most fun things I've done on this book tour is I actually spoke to a high school. I spoke to their young Democrats and young Republicans school together, their clubs together. And it was at a old boys Catholic school in New York City, and I'm a Jewish girl. So it was very so fun to have that talk with those boys. It was old boys too. It was romantic comedy. So that was one of the, I think you'd really enjoy that being a high school teacher yourself.
Well, and I feel like, too, that young people are perhaps better equipped, not as hardened to the world as we are, and they're able, although, again, it takes a struggle for the characters in the book here, but they seem to be better able to see past some of the labels.
Well, Well, I think they're very passionate, which can get people in trouble. But, you know, in a way, they are the ones who are forcing, whether it's in class or through, they're the ones who are still engaged in so many different community experiences, right? Class, extracurriculars, volunteer work. They're more likely, actually, in a way, than adults right now to be around people who think differently. And I think that also allows, you know, allows for more of the things that make us come together.
I like the fact, too, that we learn and are reminded in many cases that seeing the world as black and white is never a good thing. And that even impacts Annabelle when it comes to the boycotting of the bookstore that's so important to her.
Right. Yes. So, yes, one of the main, the central issue in the book that kind of allows Anna to step away from her friend group and join this running club is that, you know, Anna is very tied to the local bookstore, and the employees want to unionize, and the bookstore owners are a small independent store, and they say they cannot afford it. And so, you know, all of Anna's friends are very pro-union, and they want to support the workers, which Anna does too, of course, but she is very good friends with the owners. She has a strong relationship with them, and she loves the store, and she finds herself really conflicted, and for the first time, not totally agreeing with what her friends think. And that's really hard for her.
One of my favorite characters in the book is Mason, who is just absolutely struggling to understand how Anna could be interested in this guy.
Right. But Mason is horrified that, you know, he's very, you know, he probably feels familiar to high school boy. You know, he plays the guitar. He's passionate about everything. He, you know, and he would never, he considers it a betrayal of self to like, you know, fall in love or have romantic feelings towards one of the North Side kids.
We're talking with Emily Locker about her wonderful new novel, Running Mates. How did your day job influence the writing of this book?
I think it gave me this really unique perspective where I am sitting with people all day hearing about their internal world. Usually we don't have that. Usually we just see people's like social selves. So I hear about people's fears and dreams and anxieties, and that helped me so much to be able to create 3D rich characters.
I feel sometimes, too, that people who aren't around a lot of young folks have this idea that they live on social media and their phones and that they don't pay much attention to what's going on in the big, wide world. But working with students, and I'm sure you've seen the same thing, I mean, it's the opposite of that. If anything, they're more involved and more aware in many cases than their parents are.
They're so aware. I mean, first of all, I feel like they often come off as so grown up, so adult. They have these well-formed opinions, and they're constantly consuming information. They have ways to consume information we don't even know, and so they are incredibly well-informed, but they're also very passionate, and I think that has many benefits, but also a few trappings, too.
So what can us older folks learn from young people when it comes to finding empathy?
I think the you know, really finding empathy is understanding that empathy does not mean you have to think the way the other person does. It means you have to understand it. And, you know, anyone we want a relationship with, we want to understand how they think. It doesn't mean we think the same way, right? Like, I want to understand how my five-year-old thinks, but, you know, he thinks it's fun to talk about, like, poop and potty talk all day. I'm not going to do that myself. I can understand why that feels very funny to him without doing it myself, right? And I think that's where we're getting lost here, that it feels threatening to try to understand other people's viewpoints. And if we allow ourselves to do it, we can engage in so much more nuanced discourse.
Yeah, and maybe it's the influence of social media, but it's some of us find it so hard to resist the urge to convince people that we're the ones who are right.
Right. That's what seems to be the game. Everyone's like, I'm right, think this, or you're either with me or against me. That's often the messaging of social media, and that's a pretty toxic message.
So I'm optimistic to believe that young people hold the key to so many things, and one of them would be getting us out of this great polarization that we're in. If we can use some of the skills that they have, maybe we've got a chance to get back to where we'd like to be in this country.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, this generation in particular is the social media generation. And I think now we're also having so many more studies on how a healthy way to relate to social media is. So I think that combined with the intellect and the power and the passion will be wonderful, and we can use social media for more good and less for the bad parts.
Well, and I think too, I find that a lot of kids are they're more savvy users of technology than often older generations are.
That's for sure. That we don't even know. I mean, that it's funny when you think about people trying to control their teenagers. Like, we don't even know where to look, right? Mm. You know, they know so much. They're so technologically savvy. And they are exposed to these really amazing ideas all the time, that if we can try just to listen to them instead of feel threatened by them, I just think, you know, we'd have closer, better, healthier relationships.
Well, it's such a wonderful book. The characters are so great, and I found it to be very cinematic. I could easily picture this being adapted into a film. Any feelers yet from anybody?
Not that I've heard of, but I would love that. So if you know anybody, tell them it would be a great movie.
Well, I think it would, absolutely. The book is called Running Mates, a first-time novel from Emily Locker. It's a wonderful, funny, heartwarming, and optimistic read. Gives us a little faith in the future of our country and ourselves, and as always, looking to young people for guidance. Emily, great work. Thank you so much. It's a delight to talk with you.
Thank you so much, Rich. I really appreciate it.
Emily Locker, the book is called Running Mates, here on Downtown.